Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Good to have you here. Yeah. What's cracking?
Yeah.
Tremendous Friday to you. All right. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Leave it all out there. Go strong. Let's go hard. Let's earn it. Let's finish. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it right now. The first interview is not until 40 past 9 o'clock Pacific time. So you've got about a half hour to get in. 40 minutes, in fact, get in. 1-800-636-8686. You know to hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You know to email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. What are you waiting on? Do it. All right, the show sets up like this. Open phones to start. I've got Mark Kriegel, an NFL Network and ESPN contributor, coming up at 40 past the first hour. In fact, we'll go back to back. Mark Kriegel, and then at the top of hour number two, a CBS sports analyst and a columnist for The Athletic, Amy Trask. Top of the third hour, Aaron Jones. Also in hour number three, the iconic Alvin DeLauro, week that was. It is iconic. 1-800-636-8686. I'll mix in an ATP on a Friday, too. It's going to be a good, good day. Start dialing. You get through the EP Adam Hawk. You get in rotation. I put you on the air. You get racked. People follow you on Twitter. You end up in the smack off. You parlay that into your own platform. Your life comes together. It's all pretty easy if you have the right call. All right, let me start first with this. On Saturday, the medical director of the NFL Players Association released a statement which read in part, quote, "Please be advised that it is our consensus medical opinion that in light of the increase in COVID-19 cases in certain states, that no players should be engaged in practicing together in private workouts. Our goal is to have all players and your families as healthy as possible in the coming months," end quote. All right, so again, the NFLPA. COVID cases are rising in certain states. Players should not be working out together. It seems like a pretty simple, straightforward message, right? One of the states that has seen an increase in COVID cases is Florida, where the cases, frankly, have gone right through the roof in the past week. That also happens to be the state where at least two Tampa Bay Buccaneer players and an assistant coach have tested positive. Florida is also the state where Bucs head coach Bruce Arians recorded a message for the community on steps to take to be safe.
Bruce Arians here with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. During these difficult times, it's important that we all show we care about our community's health. You could spread COVID-19 without knowing it. Wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance from each other, stay strong, and go Bucs.
All right, so the head coach of the Bucs with that public service announcement in the state of Florida. And in Florida, that happens to be the same state where Tom Brady is now going to be playing and where he's working out with other players multiple times this week and then dropping messages on Instagram about it. Tuesday, he had at least a dozen players working out with him and they were not keeping their distance from one another. Afterwards, he posted a pic of himself with Rob Gronkowski and the message, quote, "No excuses." Dang, what a badass. Man, this dude is so cool. This dude is so hard. This dude is so tough. Yeah, but just so we're clear about this, the Bucs have already had multiple members of the team test positive, and this dope is getting guys together to breathe and sweat on each other. Understandably, he took heat for it. You're working out in a group in a state where the virus is exploding. You're working in a group when your own players association advised you to do just the opposite. Maybe you dial it down for just a moment. After all, a group of 49ers players worked out together in Nashville last week. One of them ended up testing positive. But not only does Brady not dial it down, he doubles down. He ramps it up. He worked out again yesterday morning. Again, with at least a dozen guys. Again, he jumped on Instagram. And this time, it was a photo of himself drinking from a water bottle with the message, quote, "Only thing we have to fear is fear itself, FDR," end quote. Man, there is so much idiot in that post. I don't even know where to start. First, there's nothing more hack than taking a dramatic quote and slamming it down over a pic of yourself drinking water during a workout. Secondly, is that message really directed at people who have been critical of what you've been doing during a global pandemic? Man, tell me that's not what that is. Tell me it's just an insanely dumb idea from you that everybody else has gotten twisted and is misinterpreting. Then again, everything we're told about this guy is that he's really smart, not really dumb. That he's really calculating, that he thinks everything through before he does it. So if you really are that smart, and you really are that calculating, and you know everything down to the smallest detail, let me ask you this. Are you really going with "the only thing we have to fear is fear itself" when more than 120,000 people have died from COVID in this country? Are you really freaking going with that? Like, hey, I know more than 100,000 people are dead from this virus, and it's currently spiking right in my own neighborhood, but come on outside. Let's get a group of guys together, and let's just breathe all over each other. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You should not be afraid of the virus. You should be afraid of fear. Don't be afraid of a killer virus. Be afraid of being afraid. Man, if this guy really is going with that asinine post to flip the finger at medical experts, man, he really is colossally arrogant and genuinely stupid. This is not just about the guy who was oh so hilarious about allegedly being in a park earlier in the epidemic when he shouldn't have been. And it's not about the guy who showed up at his offensive coordinator's house to allegedly just pick up a playbook, but in reality had bags with him and probably wasn't just swinging by to pick up a playbook that could have been couriered to him or more realistically emailed to him in a file. This is not about a guy being an envelope pusher when it comes to what is and what is not allowed, all in the name of wanting to improve and win. No, this is about a guy continuing to hold group workouts in the middle of a hot zone, in the middle of a global pandemic, and then posting lame successory quotes about it to his Instagram feed. Listen, I've been willing to give this guy and his health and fitness methods something of a pass because he's playing at a high level into his 40s, like the avocado ice cream, the avoiding of nightshades. I mean, it might have some validity. Man, but this is beyond idiotic. Not that anybody should be taking health advice from a guy who believes that drinking water prevents sunburns. But you want to be a role model when it comes to health? I mean, that's that guy's lifestyle. That's his brand. That's what he's selling to all of you. You want people to buy into some of the crap that you're selling with TB12. You want people to throw down for that cookbook and whatever other garbage you're pushing. You want to lead from the front. You want to be a role model. All right, go ahead. Be a freaking role model. Shut it down. Don't have workouts during a global pandemic and then post about it on Instagram and act like if the rest of us aren't running around doing whatever the hell we want during the pandemic, it's because we're afraid, because we're cowards. And yes, he's not the only player working out in a group, but it sure seems like he's the only guy doing it and essentially saying F you to everybody advising against it. Like, those moronic spring breakers seem like rocket scientists compared to this guy. And I'm not saying that he or somebody in that group is going to test positive, but how many people are going to see that post and think, yeah, you know what, he's right. The only thing to fear is fear. And then they go out and they get sick, or they get somebody else sick. So is it arrogance or ignorance? The answer, of course, is yes. It's a global pandemic that's spiking in your backyard. Be a leader, moron. 1-800-636-8686. You know how this goes. I've done this now for weeks and weeks and weeks, months. I start every day with something pretty heavy. We take care of that because that is the thing, the important thing. Got to get that out there. And then we'll mix in some fun. I'll have some fun. Then I'll go back to the heavy. I got range like that. There's some heavy. Your fun is going to include an update on Smokin' Jay Cutler. Detective Cuddy doing work once again. That's coming up a little bit later on. In addition to that, we bounce back to the heavy. That was not some garage rope pull. That was a noose. That absolutely was a noose. So we will have that. And then I'll bounce from the heavy to the entertainment. There is going to be some sports this weekend. Fight night is fist night. So as a number of sports try to figure out how to get back to work, UFC is still doing business. And there's a really good fight card with an excellent fight at the top. And I've got a prediction. I've got thoughts on that. You see Seattle going Seattle. There's a new arena. And the naming rights apparently have been secured. And it's going to be Climate Pledge Arena. It's all right. Somewhat newsworthy. Well, you need more fun. You want more fun? You need more fun? You need me to take the edge off? All right, how about this? How about a story? How about a story involving a guy with a rubber donga? I think we all know the purpose of a rubber donga. Why would anybody have a donga?
Rubber donga.
A rubber donga is used to carry something illicit. Generally, urine that's clean because your urine is not clean. That was the original purpose of the so-called Wizinator or the rubber donga.
Rubber donga.
Rubber donga.
Rubber donga. Rubber donga.
Well, apparently some other guy found another use for the rubber donga. This other guy chose to use the rubber donga to carry cocaine. True story. I've been trying to get to that all week. And I think today is the day to actually get to that because it's Friday. Also, the thing that I've been trying to get to all week, reset. Today is Friday. That's true, Hood. Yesterday was Thursday. Tomorrow was Saturday. Today is Friday all day. The other thing I've been trying to get to is a reset of episode 135 of the Jim Rohn podcast starring Eric Weddle. I will definitely get that in. I will find a way to work that in. That's a good one. Mark Kriegel is going to join me. Don't go to break yet, Albie. How about a phone call? How about a really good phone call? The telephone number is toll-free. It costs you nothing but time. Now, there is some risk involved. If it's a really bad phone call, people will clown you. People will mock you. People will tear you up. People will laugh at you. If you're willing to assume that risk and you feel like you've got the game, hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. We've had a really good run of phone calls after the smack-off, post-smack-off. And that's to be expected. The one thing we haven't done post-smack-off is give away a golden ticket. Last year, we did do that the week after. And one more programming note. Remember this. I'm going to work next week, and then I've got 2 weeks off. Got to use the weeks.
2 weeks.
So you're running out of time for the dead of summer. 1-800-636-8686. Mark Kriegel. Then Amy Trask. Then some open phones, then Aaron Jones, and then Alvin's Ionic week that was.
Ionic.
All of that's coming up. Now, clones, you've heard me talk about Walmart delivery before. Now, I've got something new to tell you about. Walmart Express Delivery. What that is their fastest delivery service yet. Walmart Express Delivery. You can get groceries and more delivered from their door to yours with no contact delivery in 2 hours or less. 2 hours or less. Zero markups. Same low prices as in store. If it sounds like one of the best things ever, it's because it is. So don't let work, kids, an at-home workout, or whatever else life throws at you right now get in the way of getting what you need when you need it. This is the way you do it. Try Walmart Express Delivery today. Restrictions and fees do apply. Walmart Express Delivery.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Friday is an ATP day. I challenge all of you not named Bella B and Brent from PC to get me a question and to make it a good one. Send it to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Some quick reaction before I get to the next thing. This guy writes, "Dear Tom Brady, the only thing we have to fear is you spreading the COVID all over Tampa, you idiot. Stay home, bitch." James in Tucson. Mike in LFK tweets, "The only thing to fear is me. And you can't see Ma." Signed, COVID-19. Unwar Tom Brady. At SoCal Jeff tweets, "I'm convinced Giselle is so insufferable and TB12 will do anything he can to stay away from her. What, even catch the Rona?" Yeah, like I said, this is not the only guy working out in groups, but he is the only guy effectively saying F you to everybody being critical of him working out in a group when his own Players Association said don't work out in a group. All right, so moving on. As I mentioned, I give you a little bit of everything on this show. That's serious. That's heavy. Most of you seem to understand that and get it. And then some of you are pissed. That's how it goes every single day on the show, especially off the top. So let me give you something to have a little fun with. If you missed the show yesterday, not only did we do a walk down memory lane and go back to some of Mark Grace's greatest hits, but if you missed the show, then you missed me lay out also 2020's version of The Hunt for the Real Killers. And that's in reference to Smokin' Jay Cutler taking to Instagram stories and bringing the entire world into a real-time murder investigation. It was 2 days ago that Cuddy woke up in his Nashville farmhouse and noticed that his flock of chickens had been severely thinned. And he grabbed his blower to let everybody know about it. And then he laid out a suspect list. It included a bobcat, a coyote, and Thelma, the savage house cat. You know, the one with the loose morals.
Thelma over there is a savage with loose morals.
Thelma over there is a savage with loose morals. So the guy sets up an overnight camera from a treehouse. He determines then, yesterday, that Thelma was no longer an animal of interest. She had an alibi. She was released from Cuddy custody. No lie detector test, nothing like that. But still, she may have been off the hook, but the real killer was still out there. Enter day two of the manhunt. Enter day two of my coverage of the manhunt. Rest assured, as long as Detective Cuddy is on the case, Van Smack is on the topic. And let's just say things escalated and escalated quickly yesterday. Let's get right to it. Remember from Thursday that Jay Cuddy has a chicken guy. Again, not a car guy, not a watch guy, but a chicken guy. And that chicken guy came back for a second time after yesterday's program and dropped off an alpha male rooster named Blue, who Cuddy immediately became fascinated with.
Oh, Blue's here. He's got those crazy eyes. Blue has a sidekick. Didn't know about it. Kind of a last-minute addition. I'm told he's a free spirit, whatever that means. But he's Blue's sidekick, hangs out with him. Probably tells him he's the man. He's a little guy, though. Big heart. We'll see how tonight goes. We don't know what's out there, and we've never seen Blue tested, so hopefully he's up for the challenge.
Man, this dude, there is so much gold in the clips that Cutler posts. Did you catch the perfect comedic timing of that sidekick chicken who started crowing right when Cutler referred to him as a free spirit?
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. All right, first of all, that's not Alvin dropping in sound. He didn't produce that. Like, that chicken, that sidekick, that chicken wingman was right on cue. As soon as Cuddy said he's a free spirit, he started to pipe in.
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit.
Bam.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. What that means is the chicken is going to start popping off and talking chicken junk right in the middle of you describing him being a free spirit, Cuddy. That's what that means. So a few hours pass before Cuddy posts again, and everybody's hitting refresh, and everybody's waiting and watching, and finally, he feeds the beast. The next update was classic, and I wish you could see this, but just imagine Cutler sitting in a kid's treehouse with a professional pair of high-grade night vision goggles attached to his head. Oh, and then he recruited a neighbor to the stakeout, because why sit in a tree fort all alone watching chickens when you can have a winger?
All right, guys. Obviously, things have escalated. Old Blue's in the coop with his sidekick. We feel good about him. Just don't want him to have a bad night. So, backup is me and Mark, my neighbor. We got some night vision goggles from our buddy. So, we're going to sit here and make sure that Old Blue's got a... I heard something. Make sure Old Blue has a good night tonight. And whatever happens, happens, you know?
I don't mean to be a bag or a Delta Bravo. I live in a neighborhood with some athletes. I live in a neighborhood with some, you know, public figures. Man, I would give anything for Jay Cutler to move into my neighborhood. In fact, if that's not going to happen, I may have to move into his neighborhood. I mean, imagine for a second that you had finished up dinner on a Thursday night and you get a knock on the door and you open up that door and a former NFL quarterback turned reality TV superstar turned single dad is not only knocking on your door, but asking you to come over and sit in his kid's treehouse to stake out a chicken killer. Best neighbor moment ever. Best life moment ever. And then said former quarterback is also wearing a pair of military-grade night vision goggles on his head. How freaking fast are you grabbing for your jacket and running out that door to follow him back to the tree fort? Now, unfortunately for Cuddy and Mark, they didn't get any action on their first watch. So the next update was from inside the kitchen.
All right, just climbed down from the kid's treehouse to a little break. Had a coyote skirt by it, maybe like 8:45, just kind of cruising by. We had a call out, so I think he just kind of reacted to that. Going to get a quick bite to eat, some water, fuel back up, head back out. I think whatever's hitting him is probably... well after midnight. So late night, checked the coop, all secure. Big Blue literally wanted to fight me as soon as I peeked in, so felt good about that. His sidekick was acting all crazy too, so I think we're in good hands. Hopefully get some action. We'll see it though. Stay tuned.
Wonder when that sidekick gets a name. He's got Blue. It's just Blue and the crazy sidekick. But again, you got to pay really close attention to everything this legend is saying, or you're going to miss something. This guy is so good, and so smooth that if you don't listen really carefully, you'll miss something. For instance, did you catch that part where he said he had a call out to a coyote?
Had a coyote skirt by it, maybe like 8:45, just kind of cruising by. We had a call out, so he just kind of reacted to that.
Sidebar on coyotes. In my neighborhood also, we have coyotes. I live in the hills. And man, there is nothing more horrific than when they get their score, right, at night. And I'm like, right, and then there's so many of them. And they're all calling out to each other for the kill. And I'm like, damn, where's Cody the ragdoll cat? Luckily, I never let him out unless he's with me. Generally on Friday at happy hour. Cody and I like to get our cocktail on. Anyway, Jay Cutler, who used to play quarterback on Sundays, is now in a kid's treehouse with Mark, his neighbor, riffing on coyote calls, which, if you didn't know, sounds like this. That's better than the kill and the sound they all make when they all rally around whoever's cat they got. What an awesome visual. And you heard it in the last update. He thinks whatever is killing his chickens is coming back after midnight. So naturally, Cuddy stayed on the job because the hell else does he have to do besides chain smoke lung darts? Here is his latest post from this morning.
Morning. That's the sidekick. No culprit last night, which is okay. Stayed up way too late. Super tired this morning. But Old Blue's going to be on the case for me today. He'll take over the shift. Got something cool, though, happening. My friends at Christensen Arms want to get in the mix. I'm going to add a link where you can guess who the culprit is and get a chance to win one of the cool rifles. So I'm going to add that today at some point. In the meantime, Old Blue's doing it. He's on the watch. Hopefully I can get a nap in at some point and get ready for tonight because he's out there somewhere. Culprit is. Saga continues. Stay tuned. This guy.
This guy's right, Cuddy. That guy, you, both of you, a content killer. Cuddy is a godsend. My man's already got a sponsor. A sponsor for his chicken murder investigation. This guy's been Instagramming for all of 2 days. And he's already got corporate involvement. A freaking rifle company is doing a giveaway. Correctly guess what or who is killing Cuddy's chickens and win a hunting rifle. Man, somewhere his ex-wife has got to be smiling that her former man has turned a bit of reality content into a marketing opportunity. She's got to be so proud and so jealous and so pissed. The only difference here is that Cuddy's Instagram show is actually entertaining and compelling and worth watching, and people care about it and people react to it. I also love that Cuddy's day includes three things, like every day, apparently. Talking to barn animals, taking a nap, and getting back to Instagram for day three of the hunt. Talking to farm animals, napping it out, and then knocking out his stories for Instagram for the hunt. Man, what a life. No wonder this dude does not want to take a job in broadcasting. He already is living the dream, and people are reacting. And not just me. People way more important than me. Celebrities like Carrie Underwood, Josh McCown, Zach Miller are commenting on every single post. And they make up just a small sample of blue check marks who are checking in frequently on Detective Cuddy's murder mystery. This guy's got the whole world watching. And he's crushing it. He hasn't even found the killer. And he's crushing it. His latest post is a wanted ad with a silhouette of a coyote that reads, "Wanted for the murder of Jay Cutler's chickens. Reward, a Ranger 22 rifle and $1,000 cash. Hashtag, save Jay's chickens." There may not be sports on TV other than UFC and Fist Night. But right now, do we really need anything other than that? When Cuddy is dropping perfect content like this?
Stay tuned. This guy.
That's the update. I love how he talked about how the sidekick, he introduced us to the sidekick, is kind of a free spirit. Whenever he references the sidekick or is about to reference the sidekick just pipes in.
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit. Whatever that means.
And then the sidekick is settled in, man. When Cuddy wakes up with a morning update, the sidekick is waiting for him.
Morning. That's the sidekick.
Good morning. And the sidekick went.
Stay tuned. This guy.
This guy's the best. The sidekick and Cuddy. Cuddy's like the only good thing about 2020. Cuddy's like the only great thing about 2020. This year has sucked so badly, but not Cuddy. Cuddy's never been better. Cuddy might be the best dude ever. I mean, like, how tired does Cuddy sound? Cuddy sounds like my kids, man. Like my college kid who came home from break, or his younger brother who's always tired. Except Cuddy's 37 and does nothing except hunt for the real killers and nap. Check out the cast of this show. Cuddy, Mark the Neighbor, Old Blue, the Sidekick, Thelma the Cat, Blake the Chicken Guy, and the Coyote, and the corporate rifle sponsor. What an amazing show that is. Cuddy. I wonder how that pitch went. I wonder if Cuddy was sitting there like, just scratching out the one-page treatment for that show. Lighting one heater off another. Cuddy is the best. Like I said, this guy's a content godsend. I'm looking for your thoughts and reaction. 1-800-636-8686. This guy is a content killer. Content is king. Cuddy is the king. Thanks, Cuddy. Hey, Rit, where are you at with that? I said if Rit could turn Cuddy. Somebody said, what's old man Rit doing? Why hasn't he booked Cuddy? I said, Cuddy? Cuddy is in higher demand right now than anybody in sports, probably. Probably the best, quote, turn in sports right now would be Jay Cutler. There you go, Rit. They're your marching orders, man. If you can turn Cuddy for the podcast, you can have as much hot chocolate as you want. Finally. I will make that tortured walk to the hot chocolate machine with you every single day if you can get Cuddy. Mark it down. That's a C. Finally.
Mark it down. That's an H.
Mark it down. That's a C, Rit. For Cutler. Or for hot chocolate. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, if you're on hold, hang in there. Back-to-back interviews, Amy Trask, top of the hour. Right now, though, we are joined by an ESPN boxing insider and Emmy Award-winning broadcaster. Author of acclaimed bestsellers such as Namath, a biography, Pistol, the life of Pete Maravich, and The Good Son, the life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. He is a friend of the program. He is Mark Kriegel. Mark, it is great to have you back. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate that.
Good to talk to you, Brother Mark, always. Mm-hmm. Now, let me start here. You covered the Jason Maloney, Leonardo Baez fight last night. I'll start there. What did you make of what you saw from Maloney, Mark?
I've never seen twins fight twins. I thought it was a great fight. The kid showed why people wanted to see him here. He was fighting two nights after his brother got sent to the hospital, his twin. Both the Maloneys, Andrew and Jason, came over here mid-May. And they knew they wanted to fight in the States. They knew they wanted to make a statement, but they got out of Australia with no fight schedule. The town was shut down. The sport was still shut down. They just figured, you know, we're gonna place our bet here in Vegas. You know, one guy gets taken out, goes to the hospital, and the other guy wins a dramatic TKO. And we both saw what was good about them. I think that the difference between the brother who lost and the brother who won was the undefeated record. The brother who lost came in undefeated. The brother who won, Jason, last night, who was really technically sound and powerful, he had the benefit of a loss a couple of years ago to Emmanuel Rodriguez in a really hard fight. And he learned something from that. He told me before the fight, I really want to show I've gotten better from that. I've learned from that. To me, that's the single biggest lesson you can have in boxing, losing. And the biggest difference between boxing and MMA, what boxing could actually learn from MMA, and none of the boxing people really want to hear this, is that a perfect record doesn't mean you're a perfect fighter. Most of the time, it means you haven't been challenged enough. And I think that boxing's reliance on the perfect record as a marketing tool has hurt it. You know, none of the great fighters of the past, with very few exceptions, had perfect records. And it doesn't hurt the MMA guys. It shouldn't hurt the boxers.
I think that's a great point. And especially in MMA where everybody loses at some point. You're exactly right. You don't need a perfect record. We're talking to Mark Kriegel. You know, Mark, since you mentioned MMA, over the weekend in the UFC, there was a really ugly image of a fighter saying mm-hmm. between rounds that he wanted to have the fight called. And his coach mm-hmm. continued to try to talk him into continuing the fight. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because of the role, Mark, the corner plays and the stakes are which are involved in both boxing and MMA. You write about that in The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. For those who do not know, what was Mancini like as a person growing up and throughout his life before that Duke Koo Kim fight?
No, he was the all-American kid. That's how he was marketed. And he was marketed in an age where it was really just network TV. So for the early 80s, there's a moment in time where, like, people look at him as the real Rocky. And as soon as Dooku Kim dies, he becomes a pariah. And that haunted him. That haunted him for years. But you mentioned the relationship with the corner. I mean, it's complicated. You have, I don't know what happened between Kim and his corner, but he made a whole speech about being willing to die. And it spooked Mancini before the fight. That trainer fighter relationship is like nothing else. And in that respect, it's the same boxing as it is in MMA. You're trusting a guy with everything, and you're going to wind up with trainers who are saviors and beautiful people, a lot of them. And you're going to wind up with some trainers who are bloodsuckers. You thought it was a disturbing moment. I thought it was a kind of poetic moment. I just watched the clip of Roshkoff saying, I want to go and I want to be out of this. And his trainer telling him, no, you're a champ, stay. And I thought it was, it's poetic. Look, that's the moment where you're seeing what's in his soul. You're seeing him saying, I've had enough. Now he's got to live with that. It's tough for him. But this is why combat sports are intrinsically more dramatic than just like games. You can't see that stuff anywhere else. He's telling you, I've had enough. And now, did the trainer do the right thing? I don't know. Roshkoff says, my trainer did. That's why I paid him. We had a fight last year with Buddy McGirt. Begged his fighter. Maxim Dadashev to allow him to call off the fight. Dadashev eventually said okay, and he still passed away after. So it's there's not a diagram how to do that stuff. It's a feel, and you're trusting your corner with your future, your soul, your self respect, everything. It's not like a normal relationship. It's not like just a coach.
No, and
sorry to go off on that tangent, but.
I was going to say, Mark, the coach in that case said, I was just doing my job. You know, it's my job to get as much as I possibly can out of my fighter. I understand that. I see that. And when him saying, hey, you're a champ, that's fine. Except that the fighter said 9 different times, I don't want to go. I think if he says 9 times he doesn't want to go, you take him at his word.
I agree with you. I agree with you. He was submitting and he should have been allowed to submit. You can take all that motivation stuff only so far. And, you know, the fighter says, oh, don't blame my trainer after the fact. If you're Bob Bennett of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and you let that thing go on after the fighter wants out and something happens, well, woe be to you, man, especially in this litigious society where we're consumed with assigning blame. I don't see how you keep that one going on.
No, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Mark Kriegel is joining us. Mark, before I let you go, I want your thoughts on Shakur Stevenson. I had him on a few weeks back before his fight in boxing's return. There is so much hype surrounding him. How much did he show you with his performance that night?
Look, it wasn't like the greatest test in the world, and it was more a test of us and of boxing trying to get back. I can't say it was much more than an exhibition for Shakur. And I think he's enormously talented. I'd love for him to go up to 130 pounds and fight a guy we'll see tomorrow night in Mexico, Miguel Burchell. These guys have to be tested. If they're really going to be legends, you know, apart from the hype that we give them, they need to be tested, and they need to be tested by completely opposite style. So Burchelt is bigger, he's longer, he's ferocious Mexican fighter, and Shakur is maybe the great defensive fighter of his generation. I don't know, but it articulates such a perfect contrast in styles. I'd really like to see it.
really quickly, you're right. That was not the stiffest test in terms of competition. He is a great defensive fighter. Did he show you anything offensively that you had not seen, especially in the way he was putting together his combinations?
I think that this whole idea that Shakur can't hit and that he hasn't found his man strength is borders on BS. You can see him filling out. He is what he will be. He'll be a better puncher than he's alleged to be now. He's a very deliberate fighter. I did a piece on him to start it off, just to start the boxing's back stuff. And at this juncture in their careers, he is hit less than Mayweather. Mm. And the level of competition isn't really discernibly different at this point. Now, I'm not saying that he will be Mayweather. Mayweather had more power, had a better right hand. But let's see. I mean, he's a really interesting fighter, but the only way to have an epic career, which is what he wants, is to fight in epic fights.
Right. Right. He is an ESPN Boxing Insider, an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, great author, too. He's written a number of big-time books. He is Mark Kriegel. Mark, it is so good to have you back. Appreciate your thoughts on that. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. Good friend of the program, Mark Kriegel, talking MMA and boxing. All right. When we return, we start hour number two. If you want to react to that, go right ahead. Also, Amy Trask is going to join me in about 7 minutes. Do not go anywhere. That's next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Second hour, starting with Amy Trask, is next.